You talk about just an accessory.
Bro, I was telling my brother, if LeBron had cat,
oh yeah,
they'll be way better than this. Anthony Davis, like,
yeah,
you're not consistent at all.
For sure. Cat? Wait.
You think cat's better than AD, or you think he's just more consistent? Because that's a
bit more consistent.
He's just more available. I just, you know.
So you're telling me if Cat was there during
the 2020 run,
when they won their what was it, the COVID ring? Mm-hmm. You think they? I don't think they win that ring.
I agree. That
I don't. I don't think they win that ring because Cat is more available. Cat's more available, but AD is a better player. Mm. AD healthy is better than Cat. 1,000,000%.
ATB, Africans Talk Basketball.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, I'm a Coach Calipari fan. I can tell you every UK basketball team from when John Wall was there up until when Amad Diallo was there. Like, seriously. So now,
it's a shame they didn't win more.
They should have won a few.
They should have won more, yeah.
He's got 30 kids in the league right now, and they're all balling. So and if you look at all the UK Wildcats that are balling, they're smacking Duke, they're smacking Arizona, they're smacking UConn, they're smacking every other college for the last decade. Why? So because Coach really, really good players. They didn't do it in college, but he was like, okay, these are my top three this year. Let me make sure y'all go to the league.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Coach Cal fan, bro. I can talk about most years. Like, seriously, all right, most.
So you a Razorback now? So
no,
oh, yeah.
I'm not. I don't know what he's gonna do at Arkansas. So let that be.
He's a Razorback.
Is that what fan are you? Wherever LeBron at. That's what Shannon Sharp said.
Now that college kids can make money, they don't care about making it to the league like they used to. Now you can make $5 million a year as a college kid. I'd never leave. Oh, I forgot we're recording. Cash card. Hey, so welcome to another episode of Africans Talk Football. I know we're on our ATB, Africans Talk Football, for a little bit, but
basketball, yeah, Africans Talk Basketball.
Yeah, You know, the NBA Finals got us feeling some type of way. You know, we are multi-sport athletes, but we do focus on football. So wanted to get it to you guys as clearly as we could. You know, there's only a few games left in the Premier League. It's a little bit later than we're used to posting our episodes, but how's everybody feeling tonight?
Pretty good. We're
hanging in there.
Lucky. Very lucky to be here.
Yeah, man. Blessed to see you boys again. Another week that we're all just chilling above water. And honestly, another week that some of us are chilling above water. Especially when it comes to football. Some of us escape by the hairs of our chinny chin chins, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Before we get into the nitty gritty, again, we have to just say thank you to all of our friends, to all of our fans, to all of our supporters, to all of our homies out there still watching. Like I just saw, we saw, you know, live feed. We're up on YouTube right now. As always, we'll try to get you these episodes as quickly as possible via YouTube, via podcast apps, via Instagram Reels, via TikTok Reels. But Young Trini, we got something to talk about because
we gotta talk, bro.
Yeah, I told the boys in secret, but as we talked over the weekend, you know, I'll say it on wax. You said, hey, if Arsenal doesn't end up getting the job done, I want to hop up on an episode. And I was very, very close to hitting you back and saying, hey, you might not be allowed on the episode if you don't beat Coventry. But, you know, you guys escaped by the hair of your chinny chin chin, so I'll still give you that respect. But let it be known, I'm looking at you with my strong guy, you know? No astigmatism in this guy. One, you get me? Yeah, but no, man, let's actually just start with Champions League because we are now in the quarterfinals. I know Gabriel isn't here, unfortunately, because I wanted to hear from, you know, the Arsenal fan himself. But to be honest, this quarterfinal two-leg matchup, it's honestly been one of the best quarterfinals I've seen in the last few years. Especially when we talk about the first leg, I believe there were the most goals since 2017 or 2016, I believe they said something like that. I mean, the first leg just both games, you know, both days, there were just goals galore. And it wasn't that it was bad defense. It was just the offense was so good. And the the free-flowing football that we saw over the first leg, we kind of assumed it was going to be like that over the second leg as well. But the second leg, we saw a little bit more defense. We saw, you know, penalty shootouts for some of these games. So let's just go through, you know, what happened with Champions League, because, you know, it's very interesting now that we're in the semifinals for Champions League. We're seeing PSG beat a Barcelona team that, you know, Barcelona looked good that first leg. If it was up to me, I would have said Barcelona was going to go through, but PSG, through the strength of Mbappe, and shout out Dembele as well, because I believe he had a great game. You know, really, he kind of made up for what he should have done in the first leg, I believe. But let's start with PSG Barca. Did you guys expect it, or was it something that was new to you? And I know the red card early, you know, kind of influenced the game, and then Xavi ended up getting a red card as well after a few bad calls, according to them. But I don't know. PSG Barca, it's been one of those Champions League matchups that we've seen over the last few years, and it's always been a spectacle. What do you guys say about that?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I had PSG going through. I think Gabriel was the only one that picked Barcelona. I mean, just overall, I think PSG is just more built, better, in my opinion, than Barcelona. I mean, I just feel like in all season, Barcelona has just been kind of like in shambles as far as like finding any sort of consistency, any rhythm, any run of form. I mean, I know it was before the Clasico, but, you know, for you to kind of lose the way that you did versus PSG, and then for you to go into the Clasico with that, I mean, that's tough. I mean, even in the Clasico, when you look at them, they were up, and then they gave away the lead, and then here we are, you know, Real Madrid is gonna win La Liga. I'm not really surprised. I thought PSG was a better team, and Mbappe got his goal, two goals, right?
Yeah,
two goals. So hopefully they can figure it out. It'll be interesting to see where Barcelona kind of goes from here. Obviously Xavi's leaving, but I'm curious to see what they do in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give, you know, Salam credit, because you said this PSG team is one of the best in recent years, and I actually didn't believe it at first, but you might seem to be onto something. But I don't know, man. The red card influenced the game, but Barcelona, man, this year has been a weird, tough season for them, because everything that could go bad in a game just does. I mean, to go out that way against PSG, and then this past weekend with El Clasico, I just feel bad for them. But
So I will say this. So I will say this, because the initial red card on Ronald Araujo, I thought, you know, it was fair. You know, it was a 1v1. It was the obvious goal scoring opportunity, and he took that away from the attacking player. I thought it was fair. The way Xavi reacted, I believe, is the reason they lost. Because the game was still, on aggregate, it was still fair. You know, it was still very, very even. The game was super open. And I think Xavi, you know, after the goal, it was maybe like 5 minutes later, he reacts on a potential foul that they don't get, which ends up being the reason that he gets kicked out of the game in the first half, 30 minutes in. So now you have a whole hour where you're not able to influence the game as much as you would like to. You can talk at halftime, you can talk through your assistant coaches, but you're not able to be, you know, the captain behind the ship. And down the stretch, you were looking at Barcelona. You know, they were able to equalize, they're able to get a goal back, and they still were not able to finish. And I think it's because Xavi wasn't there on the sidelines. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, as good as PSG was, they weren't at home. You know what I'm saying? They were away. They were going into hostile territory, and for them, they were down a goal. So they had everything against them. Personally, I think this was one of those where you needed your management to step up. And this is where we say, you know, I don't think the players necessarily lost the game. I think this is where they needed a captain. And as tough as it is, as a manager, you have to take the blame for it. You know what I mean? As a leader, you have to take the blame.
I have a question for you guys. I like the point you just made. Do you think him taking off Lamal was Yamal? Is that his name?
Yeah, Yamin Lamal.
Yeah, was it the right decision to take him off? Because I thought it was not the right decision.
I mean, I think he needs
he's clearly been one of their most dangerous players. So taking him off, I don't know if I agree with it.
He needed to sacrifice somebody, especially with, you know, with the red card. So like, and he's also just like the youngest person. So I feel like sometimes
I agree, Salam.
Like they're just kind of like the easier targets, but I agree, Mike. I mean, he's definitely been the biggest bright spot of their attack this season. So although he may not warrant, you know, being taken off, but even in all that, I still wouldn't have taken off him for, I would have kept Lewandowski on. Like, I'm not taking him off for sure. Mm-hmm. The other attacker was who? Was that Anthony? Or not Anthony. Rafinha?
It was Rafinha. Yeah, Rafinha. I mean, it was one of those. Close. It was 30 minutes into the match. You kind of just have to make a judgment call. Mm-hmm. I understand why Yamal was the first one to come on. He's just the youngest cat, just like you said, Salam. Mm-hmm. Do I agree with it? Personally, no.
Well, I would have taken off Rafinha.
I wouldn't have taken off Rafinha either, because he scored two goals in the last match. So,
no, I'm saying,
and he scored in this leg as well. You know what I'm saying? I know what you would have done, but I'm
saying, Salam would have definitely taken Rafinha off.
As a manager, I look at the circumstance. I'm like, okay, we have a young kid who's been a catalyst for us in many games. Mm-hmm. We have Rafinha, who scored a brace last match. He ended up scoring a goal in, you know, the second leg as well. So, like, it's a tough decision. You just have to make a decision and live with it. At the end of the day, they ended up losing. So, again, it's tough. But for me, I don't think there was a wrong decision made. I just think Xavi, this was a match where he should have shown a little bit more maturity as a manager. And he ended up losing his head. And then
I agree.
So,
at the
end of the day, this is how he's going out, bro. Like, we know this was going to be his last campaign. Like, he already said, after this year, I'm not going to be the manager of Barca.
Yeah.
So you would think that he would want to go out, you know, with his head held high, and this is going to be a stain on his jacket for me.
Absolutely.
It's a stain, bro. So I don't know. It's tough, but, you know, this was one of the big games I think we were all looking forward to, because, you know, we know about the remontada. We know the history these two teams have. We know Mbappe's potentially leaving to potentially go to Real Madrid. So there's a lot of storylines. So we're looking at this match like, all right, what's going to go on? What's going to happen? And unfortunately, Barca wasn't able to carry the torch into the next round. But, you know, the other game that I thought that it ended up a little bit differently than we thought was Atleti versus Dortmund. You know, Dortmund was able to – yo, shout out Dortmund, man. They have had such an underrated season. I know they're not going to win the Bundesliga, but as far as what they've done in Europe this year has been very, very underrated. Like, shout out to them to even getting to the semifinals. For me, that's huge.
I mean,
go ahead, Mike.
I mean, we said it at the beginning when we were making our predictions that, you know, we want to pick Dortmund, but – we know how they get, and they proved us wrong. I mean,
man's like Sancho, man's like Ian Maatsen. Man's like Ian Maatsen. Shout out.
I mean, Dortmund, man, you can't. They've had a good season, but it's still one of those seasons where they, you know, they perform, they you know, win our hearts and all that, and then nothing comes out of it. So, I mean, I'm just hoping they can move on, but I don't expect them to. Atletico, too, man. It's kind of become what they do. Like, since they made it to the finals, it's just they just can't finish the job. So, I was surprised, but I wasn't that surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great for a team like Dortmund to get through. I mean, definitely. One of the bright spots of the Champions League this year, but to your guys' point, it's like I don't know. When you look at the other teams left in the competition, I don't know. There's just a lot more complete teams than Dortmund right now. Dortmund is just – they've always been that team where it's just like – that's a team that can show up and then you could be down 2-0 within the first 10 minutes. I don't know. Like, it's just – I don't know. They always leak goals, and that's why I even for them to be like a high scoring affair versus Atletico, I got to give credit to them, you know, because usually Atletico is pretty good about, you know, like controlling those legs for the most part. So
Man,
big ups to them, and we'll see who they get, but hopefully they can get a favorable draw. And it's great to see guys like Sancho, and I guess Ian Mattson play well for teams that are not theirs. But.
Oh man,
it's crazy you say that because we'll I'm gonna just let that comment slide. Anyway,
there's then like, what are you addressing? I'm just saying.
No. We're talking Champions League. We'll let that comment slide. So now you know, you said that you think there are other complete teams. Let's move into, you know, the other day of matches, because we saw a very complete two teams, two heavyweights, two juggernauts. Mm. A team that just won their first Champions League versus a team that has won multiple Champions League go head to head. And again, just like we've seen in years past, man, City versus Real did not disappoint. You know, it went all the way to the ting. Like this was one of those where we truly did not know who was going to win. And
I agree.
You ask anybody after that first leg, I think people were leaning City. To be honest, I think people were leaning City after that first leg, but as we've said on this podcast multiple times, as I will continue to say multiple times, you can never count Real Madrid out. Los Blancos, this is their ting, bro. And again, stop it. Again, they showed why they are elite. They showed why they are, you know, the grand poppies of this competition. They showed why they are always in the quarter, semi, or finals. This is just their tournament, and they show their class every year. I don't know what else to say. This was just a classic matchup, man. Both legs fire. I don't know what else to say.
What are we saying about Haaland, though?
We know Haaland. He's a one-trick pony.
I mean, yeah, I don't think it's anything without, like...
De Bruyne gave him 50 goals last year. Without De Bruyne this year, how many does he have in the league? Come on, man. It's clear. Like, I don't want to, like, you know... speak bad about him because he's a world-class player, but he needs other world-class players to have him show his talents. He's not able to do everything by himself. He's not one of those players that's box-to-box. He doesn't have the tech like some of these guys. You know what I'm saying? He needs to be fed the ball in great positions for him to show what he's great at. And until he's able to improve on the other parts of his game, he's going to need somebody like De Bruyne to make him super elite. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think Solo's been on here a few times and said it, but I've always believed they've looked – I mean, and it's hard to say that because they just came off of winning a treble. And
sure.
Like, obviously, you know –
it's a team sport, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, absolutely. I just don't think that, like – I guess what I'm saying is I don't think that they lose much by having Julian Alvarez there and playing in that role that – I feel like we're kind of used to seeing like traditional Manchester City like teams play like, you know what I'm saying? So like, I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know. A lot of people are still like, are saying that like, yeah, Haaland has been figured out, you know, but he's still leading the league in goals, right? So like even in a down year, if he's putting up these type of numbers, I think it's just kind of, you know, you're just kind of nitpicking at that point. But
so
I think at some point though that there will be a breakup between those two. It's just a matter of when.
So
I think he's gonna do 3 years.
And so I'll ask you this. I know he's super young, but I look at his numbers and I'm like, compare him to Suarez at Liverpool. and what we saw Suarez do consistently over a span of 3-4 years, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Haaland had a very, very, very record-breaking year, and now we've seen him at a at an average, but still above average for the league year, because just like you said, he's still leading the league.
Yeah.
So let's just say he stays a third year. Where do you want to see him improve? Because like I said, we know what he's good at. In and around the box, he's clinical. He's going to be able to finish, but until he gets the ball, bro, sometimes he touches the ball 10 times a match over 90 minutes, sometimes less than that. So if he's not included into the game plan, you can totally eliminate him and effectively take Haaland out of the match. And we've seen teams do it from Arsenal to Real Madrid to, I mean, other teams across the Prem. It's not just like the top teams that are doing it. We've seen teams get Haaland out of the game plan. So for me, that's where he has to improve. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that in Pep's system, like the people that are the most comfortable with the ball are going to be the ones who touch the ball the most, like in those teams.
I agree.
And like he's just not that player. He does a lot of good things, and I'm not saying that, you know, he's not productive by any means, but you know, like he's not someone that's just gonna just contribute in the build up. He's someone that needs to just be in and around the box to finish on whatever combination that they're creating, but they don't. I don't think it's a coincidence that he doesn't really touch the ball all like that, because that's not really where he's effective.
I agree with you, Salam, and I'm saying I think that's a detriment to his game. I think a player of his profile, he should be wanting to demand the ball more. He should be wanting to get the ball. He should be one of those players. And again, he's young. I already said that. Mm-hmm. But I think with who he is and how good he is in and around the box, he needs to be a player that demands the ball more. And his, I don't want to say passive aggressiveness, because that's probably not the right term, but the way that he's not able to influence the game enough with where he is and the team that he's on. It's like I'm looking at City. City wants to win everything, bro. They just came off of trouble. But they were talking about a potential quadruple this year. If he wants to stay on City, and City has, you know, the ambitions that they continue to have, he's going to have to evolve his game to get better, because eventually players like Kevin De Bruyne are going to phase out. We've already seen that Bernardo Silva is getting looked at by teams like Real Madrid. So these players that are giving him the ball, that are feeding him the ball, that are integral to him, you know, being good in and around the box, are leaving. So for me, I'm like, bro, if City wants to continue to be this dominant team, and they already look touchable, I've been saying that all year, if City wants to continue to be this dominant team, I think he needs to take an elevation in his game. Because we saw it against Real Madrid, bro. They totally took him out of the match. They totally took him out of the match.
I don't think he will. I don't think a player of that stature.
And that's my point. So do we so to ask you a second question, have we seen a ceiling?
But I don't want to say that because he's
23, 22. I don't even want to go there, because I think that I hate when people say that. But my point is, if we're saying that we think he needs to get better in other areas of his game, and you're saying you don't think he will, and Pep is one of the best managers in the world, one of the probably only guys that can get him to raise his level, then where do we see Haaland?
You know, I just think that the formula works. I think that the biggest problem with them this year is that KDB really hasn't played all like that.
But that's my point. Like, the formula doesn't work if KDB isn't playing. That's what you're saying.
KDB's he's a big part of the formula, though. I mean,
he's 32.
He almost broke the assist record.
And that's like, my point, Salam. When things aren't perfect for City, like Kevin being hurt all year, so what are we going to – like, we haven't seen Haaland elevate his game this year. We haven't.
No, but I'm just saying that, like, it's literally when he was healthy last year, they were the best team in the world last year, and they won everything. So it's it's not like
– So now you're saying City's contingent on Kevin, which I
– They are. I mean, they are. I think
my point is there's going to be –
He didn't even start that game. Did he start that game?
No.
Which game?
Real Madrid.
No,
Real Madrid.
He did.
He started. Yeah. He did start. There's gonna be a city without Kevin in the future. Like there is. And mm-hmm. if this is gonna be Haaland's future.
KDB, Kevin.
I have a question for you guys.
Haaland will leave when Kevin leaves. Haaland will leave when Kevin leaves.
No, all right. So that's my point. Have we seen the peak of Haaland? Do we think he gets any better?
You might not be wrong.
Do we think he gets better? Personally, I'm asking y'all because I'm looking at him like, bro, like we've seen you be one dimensional. I know we joked about it all year, but it's super evident, bro. He scored 50 goals last year, and now he's sitting at 20 some.
Yeah,
but, all because one player was not able to unlock him.
To answer your question, I don't think that he will get better. I think his numbers will look better if the situation around him is better.
But what does that mean, though? Because that
no, like, I mean, but that's it. Like, I just don't think that like there is no going to be no evolution into his game where it's like you know how Wayne Rooney was a striker and then like later in his career he became kind of like. Okay, yeah, like a 10, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that there's that evolution there. I think that, like, the next move that Haaland makes has to be another situation where it's like City, where I'm going to get a bunch of chances and I'm going to get a lot of chances to score.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you guys think Foden's resurgence, the way he's been playing this year, has affected Haaland?
No.
Not necessarily. I think with the Manchester City side, there's always someone though, like in every season for Man City that like always steps up. You know, mm-hmm. a few years ago that was Gundo. A few years ago it was Bernardo. I mean, Rodri has always been consistent.
Gundo was last year.
Yeah. So like, and I think you know Foden. To be fair, Foden had a really good year last year too. So mm-hmm. I mean. Like
I mean, Mahrez too was around. So
yeah, Mahrez, 2 years ago, Grealish, like all these guys have kind of had like kind of their moment. I guess on their like push for the end of the season.
Even Cancelo a couple years ago.
I personally think.
So this is my thing with City. Most of their players mm-hmm. are 7.5 to 8 out of 10s every mm-hmm. single match, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So. What they're looking to do is higher than most clubs. They're looking to win the lot. For mm-hmm. me, this is the first year in the last 3 to 4 years where we've seen them actually be touchable. Why? Mm-hmm. One, because Kevin De Bruyne was hurt. I think that's a very, very big issue. Kevin was hurt all year. He is the best player on their team. He's not only effectively the best center midfielder, his IQ is able to mm-hmm. unlock things that people don't see. And as mm-hmm. a defender, when he's on the pitch, you just have to account for him. Because not only was he scoring last year, he was assisting mm-hmm. at a very regular and higher pace because of Haaland. Like mm-hmm. we've seen Kevin do 10 and 10 in the league. We've never seen him do almost 20 and 20 in the league. And mm-hmm. that's what he did last year. So for me, I'm looking at City like, all right, cool. Like, we knew who y'all best player is. Like, he's been y'all best player. But when he's not there, who else is stepping up? We've seen Foden step up. We've seen Bernardo step up. We've seen players like, Rodri. We've seen a lot of...
Alvarez.
We've seen players step up when they mm-hmm. had to. But who has not stepped up? Haaland. He hasn't.
He hasn't stepped up though, because even in his absence, he's still scoring though. He's still scoring.
But that's not what I'm saying, bro. I'm not saying he's not scoring. I'm not saying he's not doing his job. I'm saying when you lose a very, very big piece and you need other players to step up, you would hope that the big players
it be him.
Are stepping up, Salam. Again, mm-hmm. I love Haaland. I think he is one of the most elite strikers we've seen in a long time. But what I've realized this year is that without Kevin, he's very, very, very one-dimensional. He is. And that's why I'm asking you. But again, this is why I'm asking you, do we think we've seen the... Because in Germany, which is a very different league where they play a high line where he's able to get in behind and just run past players, cool. He can score 30 a season. But in the Prem, where people sit back and they're a little bit more physical and the defenders are the same height as you, mm-hmm. and now you have to see Thiago Silva and Alex de Sassi and Badia Shield all at the same time, maybe you're not able to run past them. And for me, all I'm asking is he as one-dimensional as we think, and have we seen the peak? That was my question. You're making excuses as to why he can do this or maybe he's not doing that. I'm just saying, bro, like, we've seen the one player that could unlock him be taken off the pitch, and now that we're not focusing on this guy and letting this guy be free, now that we can focus on this guy, he not doing what he did last year. That's all I'm saying. Because I'm saying it from a Chelsea perspective. We were not supposed to tie City twice. And I'm still mad we didn't win the freaking FA Cup match because of Nico Jackson. And that's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying is I'm looking at one specific player who we gassed last year. And now I'm looking at him like, okay, he's.
Do you not think it's a little unfair to kind of rate him on what he did last year? It was a record-breaking year. It's like the expectation is there.
I agree. I'm not.
You don't think that's part of it?
I think that may be part of it, but I'm looking very, very objectively. I'm looking at what he's been able to do with my own two eyes. I've seen him play against Chelsea three times this year. How many goals did he score against us, Mike?
I think two. A PK.
How many goals?
In the four, he had a
PK. In the four, what did he have against us? And the PK, you know, again, we look at that PK like,
that was
a give me goal because he wasn't doing shit that game, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm looking at Haaland against a team that I don't think is very that great. Like, and I'm looking against him at Man United. I'm looking against him at a lot of other top teams. And I'm like, yo, Haaland, he did his thing, but he only touched the ball 17 times. And out of those 17 times, five were in the box and one was a shot. And that's for me what I'm saying. He just needs to elevate his game because for me, he's looking a little one-dimensional and people are locking him down. That's all I'm saying. That's literally all.
I still think he's the best striker in the world. Like, with all that being said,
that's fair.
It's either him or Harry Kane.
Yeah, I think Kane. I'll take Kane right now.
And that's crazy. I love that segue because I just wanted to talk about Harry Kane scoring against Arsenal because, of course, where would we be if we didn't talk about the Arsenal versus Bayern Munich match?
Mm-hmm.
Our last Champions League match. I wish Gabriel was here because we talked about Harry Kane being able to find his goal and he ended up finding his goal. I don't know, man. As much as I've been gassing Arsenal this year, I don't know what it is about the month of April, but they just crumble. You know, it's like they say early, April April showers bring May flowers, but they may not be looking at, you know what I'm saying, too much this month. It's crazy because I honestly have been looking at Arsenal this year. With Declan Rice, I was like, yo, this team is strong. And we saw them get to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. We saw them against Bayern, and we were like, you know, this is going to be a good matchup. Mm-hmm. As it was.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
You guys did not believe in Arsenal as much as I did last week. I just want to hear your take on the match and what you guys thought about how everything transpired.
Yeah, I just wanted to just quickly say that, like, you know, all banter aside, I think...
Same old Gunners.
I think all banter aside, though, you got to give it up for Arsenal. Like this season in the Champions League, they had a good run. I 100% believe that. I think that for they got to the quarterfinals, right? They got to the quarterfinals. It's a relatively young team. I understand that, you know, this is still like the what I believe is like the evolution of, you know, what this team is. Now, when is the cutoff? Like, when is the final part of this project?
Here's the real. This is what I was waiting for.
In my opinion, for Arsenal, I feel like when they get a striker next year, I think at that point, like, like, that's it. Like, you guys have to be, this has to be, this has to be the moment now where you're like, okay, now, like, we've gotten all the pieces, we got all of our guys in, we can go. And I think that this year was a step in that direction. Now, the disappointing part is when you look over at Bayern, this is probably one of the weaker Bayern sides that we've seen in a while. So on paper, you would think, and especially just kind of how Arsenal has done all season, you would think that they would kind of just, you know, just run through them. As I predicted, I was 100% thinking, like, there's no way that Bayern gets through this with Eric Dier playing in the back. But I don't know, man. It clearly shows that, you know, the leadership and the experience. I wouldn't say leadership, but I would just say the experience of, you know, that Bayern group obviously is what did it. But, you know, at the same time, you know, there was a lot of players that I personally thought, you know, would have, you know, some moments, you know, those Champions League moments, those, like, kind of stamps, you know, sometimes, like, those statement games.
Who? Name them.
Yeah, name say them. The name. So,
yeah, no. I don't know. Gabriel's not here. You don't have to be shy. Talk about it.
No. It's not about being shy.
None of us are in Champions League.
I tell Gabriel. I tell Gabriel. The reason why... The reason why I don't say anything is because this is the time of year where, you know, Gabriel starts leaving the show a little bit early. You know what I'm saying? So I usually just don't say anything out of just, you know.
What that got to do with us? He's not even here right now. He can't even leave.
Here's what I'll say. I don't even want to call him by his first name. I'll call him by, you know, the Englishman, the right winger for the English national team. That guy, I don't know. The guy with the new.
You talking about BS?
I got BS. So I'm talking. It looked like you're talking straight about BS. The guy with the new hot sauce. Yeah, that guy. Because I don't know, bro. I just thought that was a terrible performance.
Yeah, you
know
what I'm saying? Let me say this. Y'all been dancing around it. You said quarterfinals was impressive. Let me tell you why it wasn't. They beat a Lens team that wasn't that good. They barely skated past Porto. They beat Sevilla, who's, what, 12 in La Liga?
Yeah.
And guess who finished in the quarterfinals last season? Chelsea with Graham Potter. It's not that impressive. Let's not give these guys, you know, no participation trophies around here. Like, let's get to the real deal. It's like, so if they go without winning anything, has it been a successful season? Like, let's be real. What do you guys think? I personally don't think so. Because
we've been said this, though. Like, at least we've said this. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always ask everyone at the top of the year what their expectations are, and then halfway through what are. Mm-hmm. Bro, halfway through, our expectations are still the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Halfway through, my expectation was Chelsea finishes top six. Halfway through, Gabriel was talking about, oh, we're still top of the league. Halfway through, Salam's talking about top four. So I know narratives change throughout the year because we see what happens week to week, but I just like to get a little temperature check. That's why I get a temperature check, because I know what I believe about my team. Whether or not they are able to go week in, week out and do it, I see us play week in, week out, and I know what I believe. So when I ask y'all, it's just really to check what y'all believe. It's not what we see, because what we see and what we believe are two totally different things.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, they have to get the Prem now. I feel like, you know, if you're not gonna get the my personal opinion, I thought that this might sound crazy. I thought that the Champions League was a better opportunity for them than the actual Premier League.
I agree. I completely agree.
We all said that. We all said that on the pod. I mean, we said you only have to see him twice.
Yeah. And then you never know.
Don't know you. You look like you're a better team than Bayern. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they did look like the better team, though.
They did
look like the better team, and then
we all
I'm just afraid that it's going to be, you know, like the old Wenger days. Remember the conversation we had earlier.
Oh yeah,
you can have all the possession. I will take the 3 points. I'm going to walk home with the 3 points, and I just that could happen to them.
I just think Arsenal fans. This is where we have to get real with Arsenal fans. That whole Bukayo Saka hype, and this is what, you know, us other fans with other big teams talk about. Y'all like to put this guy in this ranks. Oh, he's the best, you know, right winger in the world. Where was the best right winger in the world in the Champions League when you needed him?
Yeah.
I think he's their best player coming up. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, all those Arsenal boys, Bukayo is one guy I have no doubts about. But the progression, it's like Arsenal fans can't just allow him to progress. Yeah. And then when we're asking for, you know, our money back in a game like Bayern, when you didn't show up, oh, it's abuse. Oh, this, that. No.
Yeah, it's abuse. Yeah, mental health. I know.
You guys put him that high. So we're asking questions. Hey, where was he?
Yeah.
Wasn't this the guy you guys told us was world class?
Yeah.
Didn't show up. So, like, with Arsenal, you know my thing. You know where I've stood. Everybody knows where I stand with these Arsenal guys. I don't expect them to win anything. I think, you know, last season I was telling Gabriel when he was like, oh, the Saliba injury. And I was like, I mean, they're still close. Like, they're still at the top of the league. Let's be for real. But you're going against Liverpool and City, who are more seasoned. They've done this before. I don't know. I'm just nervous because I still think there's a chance they can do it, but they're not completely out. But I still think if they go without winning the Prem, it's a failure.
I mean, now with City knocked out of Champions League, I mean, you already know that they're going to be like,
yeah,
like this game
all
in hand.
All the top three knocked out of Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's go time.
Yeah, it's go time for them. And they're already... I'm sure they're probably motivated to see that they drew us in the FA Cup final because that's at the end of the season. So, they'll be able to kind of wrap up what they have to wrap up. And that's the thing. Arsenal, I can't wait till we do predictions. Arsenal-Chelsea is going to be such a big game. That's going to be fireworks. But you got to give it up to Bayern. You know, everything that they've kind of gone through this season for them to kind of get through and beat this Arsenal side, you got to give it to them and Tuchel. So he's gotten a lot of slack this year, so I feel like we got to give him credit for getting them through in spite of all the injuries that they've had. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not going to really guess them because I think they
still, you gotta give them credit though.
I think they still underperformed in the league, but what they're able to do in Europe has been admirable for sure.
But even like for Bayern, like to Mike's point,
I'm talking about Bayern.
But I'm just saying, like, when Mike was talking about Arsenal and saying like it wouldn't be a good season for them, I think when you look at Bayern's season, I mean, I guess nothing would make it like great unless they won the Champions League. But
yeah,
I think if they got to the semis, it'd be like, you know what? Like, in spite of all the problems that we've had for us to get to the semis.
No, like, dude, I'm not hearing that for these top clubs that expect greatness every year, bro. Bayern won the Bundesliga 11 years in a row.
No, I understand that. For the next person coming in, though, for you to be like, if I'm the coach that's walking in there, the next coach, and I'm saying, okay, the year before was one of the worst years that they've had, and in all that, they still made it to the Champions League. I have something to work with here.
You're right. I agree with that.
For the year, like, yeah, it's a massive disappointment, but.
You're right. I'll take that because they still have a lot to show for this squad.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to win the league every year. It'd be nice, but you're not going to win the league every year. You did it 11 years in a row. So for them to be in the semis right now for the Champions League, they have nothing to worry about. You're right. You're right. But yeah, man, I was going to say, let's switch over to the Prem. We actually talked about Europe a lot longer than I thought we would, but let's go ahead and switch gears. I mean, honestly, where do we want to start? Because there's a lot that went on.
Chelsea, we lost.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys were before us anyway. I mean, let's be honest. I didn't expect Chelsea to be Manchester City. But the disappointing part was just, I knew you guys would concede. And you held for the better part of 83 minutes, right? And then it's just kind of like when you watch that Bernardo Silva goal go in, it's like, you know. But I will say, though, you guys.
That's not the issue, though, Salam. That's not the issue.
No. Like, all banter aside, I will say, I feel like you guys are one of the few teams that have actually went toe-to-toe with City every time that you guys have played them this year and kind of, you know, made things difficult for them. Regardless of, like, what the final result was, I mean, I think that that's something that. I feel like you guys just do, like, just enough. You know, it's just that little bit extra. Mm-hmm. Of getting, you know, the ball over the line or whatever the case may be. But y'all have had a good go at City this year.
I mean, I would say this goes into, you know, Chelsea history as one of the horror shows. Every Chelsea fan can remember Bakayoko at Watford, Ziyech at Zagreb. This is one of those games. Like, this is... You know, I've been a, you know, Nicholas Jackson guy. Give him time. He's going to come. But, bro, what a performance. This was a horrible performance.
Yeah.
I have.
No
when
words.
You talk about heads gone, this guy's head's gone. I mean, I'm just, bro, simple header. Place the header into the corner. That's it. He couldn't even do that. You went around the keeper. I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures around social media. Wide open. Just tap it with your left foot. Couldn't do that. I mean, this was everything our season has been about. Just we can't put together a clinical performance, a complete performance. And I mean, yeah, we have played City well, but I didn't go into this game thinking, oh, we're not going to do anything. I was expecting us to do something. We got good chances to score, and we didn't. And it's been the story of our season. I can't even say much. This one lies on the top of Nicholas Jackson's head, and I hope he comes out of it. It's that simple. Like, let's be for real about it. Like, the chances fell to you. You had the best clear chances in the game, and you didn't put it away.
Yeah, man.
That's how Cornelius feels right now. He's just like...
Yeah, bro. Like, I don't have any patience for these kids. I really don't. And that's probably something that I have to work on because I'm very impatient. But dude, man, I mean, the issue is with this team, I've seen everyone play at such a high level that I've seen what they're capable of. And then I've seen instances like the FA Cup final where it's just rubbish. Like as a striker, you can't come out of that game with any excuse. You had mad service. You had opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you played the full match. So for me, I'm looking at you like, as a striker, our defense did what they're supposed to do. They're out there fighting. They're out there working their ass off to make sure that we can do our best to... And the goal that happened, you know.
I wasn't even mad for
good goal. Like, honestly, good goal. Yeah. What are you going to do? It's football. You're going to get scored on every now and then. So if it's a good goal, you could just say, hey, shouts out to them. But at the end of the day, the opportunities that we had is why every Chelsea fan is going to look at our team in disgust. Because we know that we're not the best that we've ever seen. We know that we're going through our growing pains, but we also look at the match and we're like, yo, all 10 players behind our striker are working hard to make sure our striker is in an opportunity to score. Mm-hmm. And not only did we give him one or two or three or four, yo, he had five or six. So yeah. For me, it's like, guy, at the end of the day, if you have five chances, that's one every 15 to 20 minutes, score the ball, please. Please.
Well, at least one in.
Please. You know, that's all I have to say about that. Our team is in a very good spot, but we're going to have to grow up. We have to grow up because it's cute when it's your first year on a club and you've never been in the Prem and, mm-hmm. oh, you don't know what it's like playing for a top three, top four, top five club. No. Next year, I don't want to hear none of that. And I was already almost done with a lot of the excuses from a lot of our senior players last year. So for me, I'm looking at this like growing pains. I just have to. I just have to be namaste and just say, this is the first year with Pochettino, whole new manager, whole new players, whole new idea. Namaste. Mm-hmm. Next year, I'm not taking none of this at all. Because I've seen what we were able to do with a very, very topsy-turvy club this year. So next year, I want more stability, and I need to see us jump over the hump. That's it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it. We want to move on to United?
Let's do it.
Go ahead, man.
Fake offside lines, man.
What did I think Anthony did this.
Let's start
on my story, shameless.
Let's start by saying exactly what Pep Guardiola said. Respect Coventry. Respect Coventry. And I said this last week, and I'm glad that we got this on wax because I didn't even know that it was going to be a match like this. But Coventry, what they were able to do over the last 3-4 years, their owner, their manager, they sold the right guys, and they brought in guys that were going to improve their team. And for them to even get to the semifinals of the FA Cup, hats off to them. Hats off to them. And Haji Wright, you weren't offsides, brother.
Shout out, Haji.
Haji Wright, you were not offsides, brother. No cap, Haji Wright. Mm-hmm. If you want to come on this podcast, Africans Talk Football TV, we're based out of Ohio here in the States. We've been rocking with you. We're U.S. men's national team fans.
Oh, Haji,
you come tell us from your own point of view what you thought was going to go on. No cap.
You are onside.
Because, bro, I mean, we're all looking at this match like, yo.
Bro, that line was crazy. I was like.
Very finicky. Shaky at best.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Salam.
No, I mean, I just you got to give it up to Haji Wright and Coventry. I think as a United fan, like, you know, it's crazy because, like, the past, obviously, since Sir Alex has left, it's been tough as a fan. But yesterday's feeling was crazy because it was like we won, and then it was just kind of like once the adrenaline of and the excitement of the win kind of wore off. You know, like the reality starts to kind of settle in, and as Young Trini says, you know, we didn't deserve to win. A lot of people say deserve. Honestly, I think you earn everything that you get.
It's football.
Football is very unforgiving.
Do you think you earned the
win? I think absolutely. I think you can't say that we didn't because I think when it came down to it, right?
PKs,
the PKs. Mm-hmm. That was a part of the game. When it came down to it, obviously, the tragedy is that we were up 3-0 and we squandered that lead. Mm-hmm. And we almost lost that game, but by the grace of VAR and their opinion. You know, they said it was disallowed and we went into extra time. But no, I think when it came down to it, we needed to make our penalties. Our keeper needed to make a save and he did. So I think Onana made up for it for me. He made up for the second goal, the one where he just kind of just waited there and like he just kind of waited one was for
tough.
A second.
That one was tough.
No, man.
If you've been a keeper before, I feel like.
Okay, you, I get it, understand. Mike. But I mean, like, he was up in the air for a minute, though. And I counted, like, you know, like one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Bro, I thought it was going over. I really thought it was going over.
I honestly think all his weight was on the his left foot because he had to go. Like,
you got to lose some weight. I don't know. Like, you need to be lighter on your feet. What are you talking about?
It looked terrible. I'm not going to lie, but.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
I'm with Mike on this one. Bro, his weight is all the way over here. It's looping off a deflection. It looks like it's going to go out. Like, it's one of those where, like, I don't think anyone would have saved that.
Well,
nobody. I'm talking about Dita, like, Prime Castillas.
Wicked deflection, bro. Nonetheless, he still had to make his penalty saves, and he did. So, I mean, you have to give credit to the keeper there. But, I think it's embarrassing, though, man. I think for us to be going toe-to-toe with the championship side like that, not even a no disrespect to Coventry, but Coventry's not a side that's, like, even, you know,
competing,
like,
competing
to come into the Prem. They're not even, like, in the playoffs. Like, this is just a team that's, like, a mid-table team. And, I mean, for about half an hour after, like, 60 minutes, you know, obviously – once the subs were made, you know,
what's up with this Garnacho? Why is he always taking him off? It seems like whenever he takes him off, you guys just squandered the lead. What is that about?
So here's my thing.
Yeah, how do you feel about it?
I think that the performance is definitely on the players. Like the players that were in at that particular moment. I think what the manager is responsible for is putting the team out, putting a good team out. We were up 3-0. So in that regards, he did his job. But another part of your job is also managing the game. And I feel like with your substitutions, that's one thing you've consistently gotten wrong for a very long time now. You clearly have favoritism. You clearly are afraid to sub certain people off. Why? Probably because you know that if you sub them off, you'll probably lose the dressing room and your job. Because they'll complain. No, we know. Marcus and Marcus and them. Yeah, but no, I just think that it's crazy though. For a second game in a row, you have to sub off Garnacho, because again, you can't really sub off who you really need to sub off.
So you agree with him subbing him off?
No, he subbed him off because he couldn't sub off Rashford. And it's like you sit here and you back this guy, and it's just kind of like you fail to realize that Garnacho has really bailed you out a lot of moments this season. Yeah. But back to the point when we were talking about earlier with Yamal, it's like it's easy to take him off because it's a young guy, and it's kind of, and you can see it in his face. Like, you're just like, he knows
he's going to be first off, and he's like, damn. As a player, you've been in that position where you know you're probably going to be first off, even though you don't.
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
Especially considering when you look on the other side of on the other wing, and it's like
he's not doing anything.
Either. He's not doing anything for you know, for me to get taken off.
Just look at GA's the last five matches. That's all you got. Just look at GA last five.
Yeah,
for everybody on the club, and then
but it's not no, just
him. Taken off.
I would say this about Fernandes though: the last couple of games, I think he's stepped up for you guys.
We're not talking Bruno. We're talking Rashford specifically.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah, I want to make sure because I give Bruno, you know, a hard time. Like the last, say 3-4 games, he's really came through for y'all.
Absolutely. And the one thing that's underappreciated about Bruno is he's available. He does not miss games. Regardless of, it's very easy to say, you know, like, let's replace him. But he's one person that I know is going to be on the team sheet. Like, he'll be fit. I don't have to be worrying about if he's not going to play. So in that regards, yes. But again, you took off Kobbie Mainoo. And it's just kind of like,
yeah, it makes no sense.
Like you clearly are afraid to take off some of the people that are on the team. And yeah. For that particular reason, I do have an announcement. I do have an announcement. And it's sad that like we've gotten here. I got to write this down. This is going to be the timestamp. But
we're an hour in, Salam. 59 minutes and 40 seconds. What you about to say? Drop a bomb real quick.
ET out.
Nah, I.
How many hogs are you at?
Yeah. Let's check that. How many hogs are we on?
Not 10 hogs, clearly.
No, to be fair, I'm at like a six. I'm at a six because, you know, here's my thing. Here's my thing. What I know for a fact is that these players need to go. We need new players. We need a cleansing of the squad. But one thing that I absolutely know for a fact is that I think in order for us to get where we need to be as a club, I think we need a manager with personality. I think we need a manager with a clear idea and a vision on what he wants to do.
Wow.
And I think that we need someone who's not going to be afraid, to sit personalities or discipline, you know, situations that need to be handled. So for that particular case, I think he should go 100%.
Wow.
I think at the end of next season, because he has 3 years. Okay. So he has 3 years. He has 3 years. He has 3 years. This is his second year. He's in the FA Cup final. You know, he won the Carabao Cup. For me, it's not even so much about winning the cups because Van Gaal won an FA Cup and we sacked him. You know, like
in I want to say this before you finish. I've known you since Sir Alex.
Yes.
Van Gaal.
Yep.
Moyes. Mourinho. Ole, yep. and Ragnick, and then now Ten Hag.
Yeah.
Out of all those guys, Ten Hag has been the only one you've really defended. Like, you stood behind him a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I get it. You know, players have to go. But, like, do you really believe he can... Okay, if he wins FA Cup, does he go more than that 1 year, you think he should? But if he doesn't win... You still keep him that 1 year?
No, but that's the thing. I think at this point we are in no position to renew him. We should not renew his contract.
Who are you bringing in then?
But so here's the thing. The reason why I'm saying that he should stay one more year and not renew him is this summer needs to be the start of cleansing the squad. We need to start getting some of these guys out of here. We'll see what he does by bringing in the players that I guess he wants. The only reason why I'm hesitant even in regards to that is because the players that you have brought in, either it's like,
yeah,
they're very hit or miss. You just don't play them either. Like Amrabat, I don't know. You don't even play Amrabat.
Amrabat.
Amrabat. Yeah.
That was weak. I'm sorry.
but I just think that it's not like he can steady the ship while we get this process going. But by the end of that third year, I think he should go. But I don't see how getting rid of a manager now and just bringing someone else in helps this situation, because I personally just think that we're not going to get anywhere until some of these guys leave. That's just
but this summer there are some really good coaches available. You have Xavi, you have
Amorin, we're not getting Xavi.
You have
who else?
Possibly Xabi Alonso.
Xabi Alonso is not coming to us.
You have Tuchel, you have Mourinho still available.
Tuchel Potter.
Conte is still available.
What? Tuchel De Potter Zerbi. Southgate. De Zerbi.
Yeah.
De Zerbi.
He's not renewing. He's done after this season.
Spin the block with Jose. He gets you right.
Yeah, Jose was the one.
But here's the thing. I mean, and we'll see. I
need him for a year and a half. You know he's not good up to 3 years. So you,
right. you
get him for a year or two. Maybe he gets the right players out and then starts to transition and then bring.
Hold on. Let me ask Young Trini something. So in the last 2 years, Ten Hag has about the same amount of trophies as Arteta.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's had a bad 2 years. That's United so just don't look good on the eye. That's the only thing. Like when we look at United in the league, they either win or lose. But
yeah,
they're still in a spot for Europe. Like it might not look good, but
yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
Chelsea bad.
Yeah, yeah, but they actually have like a style of play. They have like you can see like their process of like of where he started with them and where they are now. Like they started to cleanse the squad. They started to get his guys in there, and then they started to grow as a team, which is why I'm saying like by the end of this year, okay, if we start getting some of these players out and we can continue building off of what we have here, then who knows? But the one thing that this guy has shown is that he's not going to play the way that he played at Ajax. He's came out and said that he wants to play this counter-attacking side, and that's what was disappointing about the Coventry game. It's just kind of like, how are they going? Like, why is it every game we're like under the cosh? You know what I'm saying? Like we're just getting like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just kind of like, yeah, but I mean, I just don't see how like a new manager comes in and changes anything, because unless the players change, none's gonna happen. These
that I agree with you.
So I mean,
I think United should pull the trigger on Rashford like Chelsea did with Mason. it's okay. No, I've been thinking about it. Like, I don't see y'all getting rid of him, but you guys are at the same spot we were at. Oh, academy kid, he's came through. You know, he's been huge for you guys in big moments. Champions League, Paris, all those things stack up. And they know, like, a lot of fans are not going to be happy.
See, this is why I rock.
But sorry. You got to make that decision.
No, but I think it's a very easy to, again, if these people, look what Papa said, though. Can't stay for long, but I hate to see.
Appreciate you, Papa. Thanks for coming.
He said, Papa support? Papa kind of support.
Liverpool, but because of Mane. But Mane's not there anymore.
He used to be a Barcelona fan.
He said they got Leeds, so okay. Yeah.
He was a Barcelona fan. Papa was a Barcelona and a Real Madrid fan at the same time.
I'm already not listening to him.
I don't know.
Hey, I still follow the brand, though. I hope the brand going strong, brother.
Yeah. He said, I see the one I was coming to see is not here.
Yeah, Gabriel not here. He already knows.
No, man. Mad love to Papa. No, but my thing is, listen, if these guys who are watching the thing, if they have the power that they say that they have, I don't think a lot of these decisions are going to be very easy. Cash in on Marcus Rashford, 90 million. Go ahead.
You know why I think it would be easy? New ownership. Same with Chelsea, easy. Man. Like,
yeah.
I was telling you, like, before we started, the reason why I think they're going to let Ten Hag go, new ownership, they want to get in their own guys. They don't have attachments to these guys. So,
but
if you guys are serious, you could get rid of Rashford and get Leao.
Yeah, but
that is
my thing is, listen, though. I hear you, though, Mike. But my thing is this. Like, if you're Ten Hag, and this is what tells me, like, either he has a problem with this or, like, the club is telling him that he needs to do this. My thing is, is if you understand that, like, there's, like, there's new people in charge here. Like, and you have a player like this who's clearly not, like, performing to even just, like, a standard level.
Yeah.
So then, like, what, like, why is he still showing that, like, favoritism show, like, towards him as if, like, you know, like, because he's thinking, like, yo, if I drop him, then he's going to completely lose it. He's going to be upset and he's going to be mad. So is that the card telling him that, or is he, can he just not manage?
No, see, but this is what has been my problem with Ten Hag. if you look at the Ronaldo situation, and then you look at the Sancho situation, and then you're looking at the Rashford and, you know, even Anthony situation, and even Garnacho.
Yeah.
He has not been consistent in the way he handled all of those things. Yeah. So it's like, I can't rate you as a manager if you... So I agree with you. If you treat one guy like this and you treat the other guy a different way. So is that coming from the club or is that coming from him? And as the manager, I have to assume it's you.
Yeah.
Because if you look at other managers like Klopp, Pep, even Jose, even Tuchel at that time, they were not afraid to make those decisions. So why is he holding back? No. But we've heard. I mean, Jose said it. Ragnick said it. You don't have that control. You got the manager at United does not have that control, and I think it's part of it. But I don't rate Ten Hag highly, but I still don't think he will be the one. I think you have options out there. I think if you bring Conte in, he changes this thing. He turns it around. I think you bring Mourinho in, he turns it around. Y'all just need somebody in there that is grown to challenge these guys at the top. And that's what Mourinho was doing, and they let him go. These guys have to understand. The manager has to put pressure on us for us to perform.
Yeah.
And that's what these big managers do. That's what Pep does. That's what Klopp does. Like, bro, Klopp wanted Lavia, didn't get him. Wanted Caicedo, didn't get him. The pressure was on for them to find somebody. They did find somebody who Endo has been good for them. So it might not be signing, you know, like top-level guy or whatever. But you have to satisfy the manager.
You have to satisfy the manager. I said that verbatim. I said spin the block.
I said it from the day they fired him. It was the wrong decision.
No, but yeah, Mourinho but even with Jose. Mourinho is the
perfect guy for you guys.
Yeah, but we need a manager who's going to be like there long-term, though. Man. We need like a long-term, like, we can't just, with Jose, we already know it's going to be 2-3 years and then he's out.
But we're already getting like kind of into the weeds with this, but so for me, you guys need someone that's going to clear house, you guys need a Mark Jackson. You guys need somebody that's going to coach the Warriors into becoming the Warriors, but he may not be the guy that's going to get you to where you want to be, but you need a Mark Jackson to kind of be that interim 2-3 year guy, clean house, get in the style of play, the players that he wants. And then maybe you get somebody else. But Jose, even being a Mark Jackson, he might win you an in-season tournament. You know what I'm saying? He's going to get you an FA Cup. He's going to get you to a Carabao final. He might even get you to, you know, we'll get to the semis of the Europa League or whatever you guys are in next year. I personally think that Jose is a guy that's very old school, but you need one of those type of guys to get you back to where you want Manchester United to be, personally.
Yeah,
I think it's a good fit because I love Jose. I've said it multiple times. He's my forever manager, but we know what he's good at and we know what he's bad at, for better or for worse. And I think right now Manchester United needs some guy like him because of what he's good at, to go and just be. He's going to put his foot down. He's going to do what he has to do, whether or not the board likes it. And if in a year or two it doesn't work out, then you sack him. But if in a year or two it does work out, then maybe you give him the third year and then you sack him. But
you know why?
You know who Jose is.
Yeah. Point on. You know why I like Jose? Is because if somebody as crazy as Abramovich was able to hire him, keep him for 3 years, let him go, and then rehire
twice.
Him.
Twice.
Yeah.
Abramovich knows. He knows. And no nonsense guy was like, I have to give it back to this guy. He just can do the job. And I think you guys are at that point. But I don't think they're going to go for him because he's definitely going to challenge you guys. The board and, you know, all that. And I don't know if they're going to be able to handle it.
I mean, Young Trini makes a good point here. We get all these guys. I just, and from what I'm reading, though, a lot of these guys don't start until like mid-June, though. So, you know, that's definitely like United fashion to like be, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though like we got all these guys in place, it's still like, yeah, like you're still late to the thing. We don't. But nah, man, I think the most important thing is that we're through to the FA Cup final, two finals in a row for Erik ten Hag. And that's the thing. Like, I don't even think winning it really does anything to his, like, doesn't really sway
me. I disagree, though. I feel like if he wins, he definitely gets more time. It makes it difficult to let him go.
So if he doesn't win, if he wins, he definitely gets that third year.
Yeah, I think so. I 100% believe it. But if he doesn't win, it's easy to get rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if he doesn't get Europe, though, even if he gets Europe, well, what if he gets Europe?
Champions League is you guys' level. Europa will not be enough.
Yeah, you're right.
Europa won't be enough.
No. Yeah, I ain't gonna hold you. He's out of here. He's out of here.
Yeah,
but man, let's get to it, man.
Yeah, we man, United, y'all some bums for real.
Let's not let us finish
above you. I'm just gonna say it right now. Do not let us finish above you.
I really don't want to finish below you guys.
Y'all some bums for real.
Don't worry about it.
But predictions. I'll start with Chelsea. Midweek, I think tomorrow, right? We see Arsenal.
Big game. Big game.
Look, I said this once and I'll say it again. Without Cole Palmer, we're nothing.
Yep.
So I if he doesn't play, I'll let you know right now, we will not win. But with him, we have a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. I always think that we can spoil Arsenal's day, but we already have a very long injured reserve sheet, including Cole Palmer as of right now. So I don't know where we're at.
He's hurt or no? He's sick.
Sick, yeah.
Man, he don't play, man.
He's hungover. That's what he is. Nah. He's hungover. That's all he is.
He needs an excuse if he doesn't play well.
Anyway,
he's tired of Jackson.
Anyway, give him some time off, bro. This year means nothing for him. You know, it would be nice if he wins the Golden Boot, but he's not going to. So,
nah, it's a big year for him. It's for him to go.
Yeah,
to Europe.
No. I honestly, like, if he needs the few days off, I'm willing to give him the few days off, because if there's one match we can win, it's the second match this week we have against Villa, because it's a get back. Villa's kind of smacked us up earlier this year.
Yeah.
And I know how good they are, but I think if we're almost full strength, I think we
beat them. They're looking for us because we did it to them in the FA Cup at their crib.
They have to go back there.
So
hold on. So Arsenal versus Chelsea, you think that you guys are going to beat?
From what I've seen and read these past 24 hours, I don't think Cole Palmer is going to play, and he's our best player. So I don't, along with other players as well who started this last match. So for me, no, I don't think we win against Arsenal, who's fighting for the league right now. But I'll say again, I think we've played all the top four, top six teams well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we take points, but I think we lose
1-1
if we don't have CP.
I'm going with 1-1.
Villa over the weekend, I think we win.
I don't expect us to win at Villa. I think they're waiting for us. They're waiting for us. So
I think this will be a statement game, and it'll prove who will be next year. But if we win,
I really want us to be. I want to be wrong. So
I think we beat Villa on a 2-1 smash and grab. Dead ass.
So Mike, what do you think? Arsenal, Chelsea.
1-1. Yeah. I think it'll be 1-1. The big games we show up, so I know we will give them something, but I know we will probably concede. So
I think you guys will definitely concede. I think you guys will concede multiple. I think Arsenal is kicked out of the Champions League, bro. They are going to be gunning for y'all. No pun intended. They are going to be gunning for y'all.
Yeah,
I think that's my lock of the week. Arsenal -1. But yeah, we play Sheffield at home. Sheffield is one of the worst teams in the Premier League this season, so I think it'll be a difficult game for us.
Sheffield is the worst team in the Premier, or is it Luton? No, Sheffield. They're the worst team in the league, right?
Yeah, but
they are the worst team.
I think they have shown better patterns of play than we have. So, look at Salam.
Have some shame, bro.
What?
Have some shame.
He's setting it up.
To what Anthony did.
Oh, my God.
Bro, I put this up on my story. I was like, Someone was in my DM like, wow, like you have no shame. I was like, absolutely nothing. I am cold blooded. Absolutely no shame. I looked at them like this.
Anthony, man, funniest word of the season.
But yeah, no, I think we win at Old Trafford. We should, yeah, we'll have enough. So he just needs to leave Garnacho on. But let's do
we'll
a quick,
have we'll have enough. that don't sound confident. We'll have enough. That was like when the Cavs slogan for the playoffs is whatever it takes. I was like, you know, that don't sound good.
We sound like
we reach it. Whatever whatever it takes. Like
was it 2018?
No, this was a couple of years
ago. Was it last year?
Yeah, last year.
Strength in numbers.
Type shit.
So I'm gonna say that. That thing haunts me.
Yeah.
That was that year.
Yeah, you know where that comes from.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to hear those. It don't even sound right.
Strength in numbers. Now let's quickly preview two big games. Everton versus Liverpool. Merseyside Derby. That's Everton.
Liverpool has to win. Like both of those teams, Liverpool and Arsenal have to win up. Liverpool has to.
I'm sorry, it's at the same time as our game. I'll definitely be watching our game, but yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool drop points here.
Liverpool will win.
And then Brighton versus Man City. Man City away from home.
They're getting washed. Brighton.
Yeah, Brighton, I don't know what's going on with them this season. De Zerbi has clearly checked out.
He's checked out, yeah.
Yeah, he's
something like, happened over there that he didn't like.
Yeah,
and he's definitely checked out.
Where's he from?
Italy. Yeah. Have you guys noticed how he doesn't play that young striker anymore?
Oh, Ferguson.
Ferguson. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about it though.
We haven't.
He doesn't play him. He plays Welbeck and what's his name?
You're right. He started playing Welbeck a lot more. He started starting
Brazilian.
Yeah,
he's trying to get his price up. He's trying to get well back a late Euro shout.
Ferguson. I put him in like the
I like
the Jared Bowen type vibes. Like he gives me like he's gonna be one of those type. Like he's gonna be good. He's gonna be good. But you're right, Mike. I didn't even peep that. That's a good. Good awareness. I did not even realize.
Brighton is one of the teams I hate, so I low key keep an eye on them. I just watch them just to see the watch them lose. I can't stand Brighton.
I mean, that's your team though, Brighton. You guys are Brighton is to Chelsea as Southampton is to Liverpool.
Yep,
it's just good business. You know what I'm saying? It's
good business.
Business. They finessed us. Well,
yeah, you guys are just lazy. You don't want to finesse us. You don't want to do the work.
Exactly. I'm still trying to give him back Cucurella.
I hope.
All right. You guys have any shout outs?
Oh man, my shout out has to go to what's his name? The one and only Lunin from Real Madrid. Yeah. That performance he put up against City.
Yeah.
You have to give it to him. That was a great performance. That's my shout out. And what's his name? Bayer Leverkusen. Shout them out too.
Yeah, we shouted them out last week. Shout out Inter Milan for winning the Serie A.
Yeah.
Marcus Thuram and them, man. And obviously, shout out all the Coventry fans.
VAR. Shout out VAR.
shout out to all the Coventry fans. I swear to God. Shout out to all y'all. Bro. The way that they celebrate it, bro, I could not describe to you what that feeling was. When I saw the fourth one go in, I was like, there is no way.
Lam, I had my text loaded just in case.
No, I know.
I had the songs loaded.
Bro, I hit send so fast.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, I know.
But I was gonna say, shout out. Honestly, shout out Haji Wright, man, because
that was dope. Yeah.
For the last couple of years, I've been saying that the U.S. does, we need a number nine. We haven't had a striker. And I think our defense has gotten decent. Our midfield is solid now with who we have playing in Europe. And I think we have attackers, especially wingers, that you know, if Gio Reyna can get his head on straight, we have Pulisic if he can stay healthy. And we have others. I'm just saying those two off top. But we have midfielders and we have wingers that can play.
Yeah.
If we can get a nine, I've been saying that for the last couple of years. And it was evident this past World Cup when we played Netherlands, we needed somebody who could score. That like we had chances. You know what I'm saying? Haji Wright.
I think he did score in the Netherlands game, didn't he?
And that's what happened today, bro. He came on as a sub and he scored on that real trash goal, but he scored. This year, I'm looking at him like, yo, he has 13 in the championship. He's the leading scorer for Coventry, who's top six. They potentially could be in a plane and make it to the Prem next year. I'm looking at this team like, yo, this guy can be one, because we haven't had a nine yet. And I honestly have never seen him play for real until this Coventry versus United match. And I was impressed. So shout out Haji Wright. If there's one guy leading the number nine race for me, it's him right now.
Over Balogun?
I forgot about Balogun. You're right.
I forgot he's American.
I like Haji. HW.
I forgot. You're right, Salam. I forgot he's American. Damn. You're right.
HW. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We got to give. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Damn, he is American now. That's crazy.
No, but definitely like him.
But
like,
Haji, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't even mind if we need to throw Balogun on a wing or a 10 role just to have both of them on the pitch. Seriously.
Haji's the prototype.
I like him.
You're right. Yeah. Balogun could be our 10. We could have them play off. Man,
nah, you got Captain America though.
Yeah, Balogun the 10. Nah. Cornelia, someone has to hold bench, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, someone has to. It's okay. It's a 23 man roster. Like, everybody can't play, but
everybody can play, man. Everybody can play.
Haji's definitely a good shout.
Man. But no, I like him, man. Shout out to Haji. He showed me some.
I got one more. Shout out ETH, man. Shout out Eric.
You're cap. You don't even believe that.
No, that's my guy, man.
You don't believe that.
No, but two things can be true. I want him gone, but that's my guy.
I'm telling you, I haven't backed the manager like this.
No, I haven't. Because I know the players, man. I know the players. I know. The Travis Scott song.
Yeah.
All
right, guys.
All right, man. Good show, everybody. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. And as always, good luck to you.